Ms. Mers, I wonder if you can remember for me now a little bit about what Raphael and Vernon were like during the Depression period.
Well, I recall, of course, that the people in this area suffered as much as people anywhere did. And when I graduated from college and had a job, everyone expressed astonishment that I was able to get a job in that difficult period, because most graduates, if they were able to get a job at all in this area, were working in Woolworths or something that wasn't equal to the education that they had acquired. So I was extremely fortunate, although I didn't work in this area, because jobs were just non-existent, and people couldn't pay their rent. The situation was really desperate for many people, and it just seemed to hang on and on and on. But most people were in the same predicament. People living in a country atmosphere, however, such as we lived in, were a little better off, because we had a garden, we had animals, my father raised fruit, we were almost self-sufficient. And people in the cities were in worse circumstances than we who were in rural Vernon, living on a farm or in that type of situation.
Well, Rockville was not a big city. Do you think that Rockville suffered too terribly?
Well, since most of the people were employed in the mills, they really were in bad shape financially.
The mills shut down, do you recall?
I don't recall that they shut down, but I believe they were working on a very limited type of schedule. There was little work to be had. Many people were laid off. Mm-hmm. This was true, too, for the people who worked in Manchester in the cheese mills, that work was very limited.
People wouldn't actually be laid off completely then. They might get 1 or 2 days' work.
That was true sometimes, but lots of people lost their jobs and never were able to regain those jobs again.
Were you in Hartford during the World War II period, or were you still working away from home then?
I wasn't in Hartford during that period.
You don't remember anything about that period as it might have affected Vernon or Rockville then?
Well, many people from the area did commute to Hartford to work. Mm-hmm. And we had trains at that time, too. People took the trains to work in Hartford. And in the Rockville and Vernon area, we had what was known as an interurban, which was one big car. And I recall many people commuted to Hartford, either by the trains or later by the interurban, to work. And most of the young people worked in the insurance companies. That seemed to be the thing to do in that day, to go to work in Hartford for the Travelers Insurance Company. It seemed that most of the people that I grew up with had that as a career.
There was plenty of work then during the war for people if they were willing to leave the Vernon area and...
Well, yes, and before the war, I'm speaking of before the war, that was the usual thing to do, to go to the Travelers. Then, of course, when Pratt & Whitney's began to be big, many people of Vernon got in on the ground floor and got jobs early in the history of the company and were able to advance and become quite successful in Pratt & Whitney aircraft.
I wonder if you can tell me what impact you think suburbanization had on the Vernon area. That would have affected your area much more than it did the city of Rockville.
You could write a book about that.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I think it has changed the whole picture in that, first of all, I might go to church in Vernon and I won't know a soul. The place has become very impersonal. new areas of housing have sprung up. Friendship that people experienced before and the association that we had, I think, has sort of disappeared. I'm not regretting that. That's just an observation, too. But if I had realized how things would change, I would have bought a lot of property in Vernon, because as a child, I can remember land selling for $50 an acre, or being for sale for $50 an acre and not selling, and now people will pay a few thousand dollars for footage for a piece of property. So that many of us who are practically natives of Vernon could be wealthy now if we could have anticipated the growth that Vernon would experience, because it stood still for many years. Nothing happened. It was just the same. No new houses were built, or rarely was one built. It just stood still. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden we had this great influx of people, which continues. Now Vernon is suffering growing pains, and we're beginning to feel pressures on all sides. I'm being pressured to sell a piece of land as an access route to a piece of property in back of me. And if I say I'm not anxious to sell, the real estate agents become indignant, as though you've got to sell, almost, because land has become that scarce. And the commuters, of course, who are living in apartment houses are really beyond belief. I can't understand why they want to live out in Vernon and fight the traffic both ways to their jobs in Hartford.
Well, but you lived and worked in Hartford too, so you probably can understand why they might be willing to do that. Hartford's changed too, has it not?
Definitely.
Would you like to talk a little bit about your experience in the Hartford schools?
Well, I've seen the picture change there in the period of 27 years. As a teacher entering the Hartford system, I was in awe of the distinguished members of the faculty in that school.
What year did you begin there, do you recall?
1947. The teachers were all great people. As I say, I stood in awe of them. I was almost afraid to speak to them. These were all scholarly, wonderful, fine teachers. The students were great students. They were respectful, anxious to learn, very receptive, idolized the teacher. And then, over the years, I've gradually seen the whole situation change. The teachers are a different type, and this is just an observation. I'm not saying they should be the same as they were then, but many of the teachers want to relate to the kids. They speak in their language. They fraternize. And this would never be done when I went to Hartford High. It was a distinguished school, second oldest high school in the United States, second only to the Boston Latin School. And the quality of education was so great that many people in Hartford sent their children to Hartford Public High School rather than to a private school because the education was so superior. I hesitate to say how that situation has changed, but I think it's a characteristic of all places, or most places. The level of education has been lowered so that many high school students are what someone graduating from elementary school would be a number of years ago. I certainly lowered my standards and lowered them because the students weren't able to comprehend what students were able to do when I first went there. As a new teacher at Hartford High, I taught very involved prospective problems. Students did a good deal of research on artists. We did complicated problems in color. And I felt when I retired that I had really lowered the quality of my courses almost to an elementary school level because I had to keep lowering them because the students weren't able to do more difficult work. You had to put the work on the level that the students were able to do. Otherwise, you'd be flunking everybody, and that isn't acceptable. The students' attitude toward teachers certainly changed from one of respect to one sometimes of even being contemptuous. And I always tried to retain my dignity and behave in a manner that would command respect. But so many of our students came from backgrounds where they had no father or no parents and never experienced any discipline except in the public school. They were always free to do as they pleased. For instance, I asked one student what his parents would say when he was suspended for 3 weeks, and he told me he didn't ever see them and remarked, "I never see my old man." So that how can you expect great things from students who have had no guidance, really? Now you say, where have they been when they were in the elementary school? I have a close friend who was teaching in the elementary school, and he said he could understand why children couldn't read, and because he had to spend 50% of his time just trying to hold the room together to enforce some discipline and keep them from doing terrible things. He said, well, how are you going to be teaching when you're just trying to control the room? Well, I don't know. I don't pretend to have a solution for any of the problems. I'm pleased that I've known great days in teaching, and I regret that so many of the people who are going into teaching now experience so many frustrations that they can't know the joy there is in giving information that you have learned and that on a subject that you love, and having children respond to your reactions.
Well, this brings us back again then to the subject of family culture. You spoke about the fact that when you started school, you already knew how to read. Your parents had taught you how to read at home before. I wonder if you would like to comment further on that and on your own family's attitude toward child training.
Well, I was going to say I was astonished to find that many of the children had no newspaper in the home. For instance, I would give an assignment, bring in the real estate page, we're going to use the pictures of houses and do a problem in angular perspective. And so many of the students said, well, we don't have any newspaper. We don't get anything in our house. And I was astonished. I'd never thought about it before. But you can see that you have no right to expect too much from these children when they get so little at home. And I don't pretend that I got so much, only we always had the newspaper at home and we talked about things that were in the news, and we would get some magazines and we always thumbed through those magazines and enjoyed them so much. And I remember the Rural New Yorker was a favorite magazine, and they had a page for artwork, and my brothers and I would send in our drawings and be so delighted, and our parents would be so delighted to see them published. You can see how meaningful that would be to a kid, and how in contrast it would be to somebody who never, who wasn't used to having a newspaper or magazine in the home at all. This was a shock to me. That just wouldn't, I suppose they would, these people would have comic books at home, probably, because they seem to be carrying them around with them a lot.
Did your parents have any of the German language papers and magazines in their home?
No, never.
Well, I wonder if we could move on then into the 50s and ask you what you recall about the closing of the mills in Rockville. What impact that had on the community?
That was a real tragedy for the community because we knew many people who had worked their whole lifetime in the mills. Some of them had worked up to be bosses, for instance, to being bosses. All of a sudden, with the closing of the mills, they said, what are we going to do? We're near the end of our careers. I only have a few more years to go to get Social Security. Who will hire me? Because jobs weren't that plentiful at that time either. And someone who had spent a whole lifetime as a weaver would have some difficulty going into some kind of other industry and trying to start over again. And as I say, they weren't wanted. The way people are near the end of their careers are not considered to be desirable employees to take on. And this was the biggest impression that I felt, that these people were just lost. They were at loose ends. Their whole livelihood had suddenly disappeared. And many people felt a good deal of resentment toward the unions. They felt that they had brought this on Rockville. And at the risk of expressing some prejudice, I recall at the time the story that people said that unions said, well, what are they going to do with the mills? Move them downsize? They have to come to a settlement with us. Well, what they did was to move them down south and to just leave the people high and dry. And I feel that Rockville never recovered from that blow. And you know, they made some of the finest woolens in the country in Rockville, the Hockenham Mills, J.P. Stevens. And I always bought those if I saw them because I knew that they were great woolens. And I used to enjoy looking at their ads. They would have ads in national magazines and so forth. And in my experience, it's the greatest blow that Rockville ever suffered. It was really the death knell for Rockville to have those mills go. And I feel that many people at the time felt that the union handled everything wrong, because people said that those people were making salaries similar to the ones being made in Pratt and Whitney. Why are they going on? So why are they fighting for more money? And these people are right at home. They don't have to travel to East Hartford. And it certainly was an unfortunate thing for the city.
Mm. You have always voted in Vernon, is that correct?
Yes.
What do you recall about the period when the town and the city government were being consolidated? Do you recall what the attitude of your neighbors
was? Well, there was a good deal of dissension about it, and a lot of really strong feelings were expressed at the time. People kept telling us the advantages there would be to this plan and the disadvantages, but I think that most people felt that it had to come about. They were philosophical enough to realize that this had to happen, and accepted it then after a good deal of wrangling to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Of course, it was voted down twice by the rural Vernon. Mm-hmm.
Well, because they kept pointing out the disadvantages, they said that we would be paying for Rockville's fire engines and we would be paying for other things that would be beneficial only to Rockville, that we who lived in the rural area would be subsidizing the city of Rockville, really.
Okay, now I wonder, in closing, if you have any general comments or concluding remarks that you would like to make. Perhaps about your family and your own experience of growing up in this area.
Well, I think it, that the North Wolverine area was a great place to grow up in. There are so many advantages. It really, there's little to worry about. That is, it was a safe place to grow up in. Friends and I often would go to the movies at the Old Palace Theater after school, when we were in high school. And we would take the bus down to Dobsonville. We would walk home in the dark. It would be winter time. That would be around 5:30 or 6. Some of my friends lived up on Tunnel Road. That was a long walk from Dobsonville. Nothing bad ever happened to anyone. I can't remember anyone's house ever being robbed. As I say, it was a pleasant, happy community to be in. There were many advantages, lots of 4-H clubs. We belong to a number of them, and church organizations. Life at school was happy for everyone. I don't remember any great problems ever or any great dissension happening. People approved of the schools. They did a good job. I think that I was fortunate to grow up in this area.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Murris. This concludes an interview with Miss Anna Murris of Vernon, Connecticut. Miss Murris has kindly consented to donate her tape to the Vernon Historical Society to be used for such scholarly and educational purposes as the Society shall determine.